Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
I mean, chills, man, and it's week freaking three. It's week three against the Cardinals, and the final score was 16-15.
Adam Amin with a nice little sequence there.
Adam Amin of Fox, if you're going to listen to all that play out, you might as well have just heard the NFC Championship game and a game that went back and forth.
He gets excited now.
Two teams just trading blows.
And I'll say this, Mark Sanchez, he's growing on me.
Oh.
His goofy attempts at humor and his kind of, at times, awkward analysis, he's growing on me.
Okay.
I thought he had himself a good little game there.
I've not been a huge
fan of his work, but I thought he did a nice job. He's growing on me a little bit.
Well, I have to tell you, I have to admit something. You won't care about this.
The Sanchez?
Well, it's not really just about Sanchez. It's even kind of about Adam Amin. And I knew Lucas's head would do that. You just got whiplash. You think I'm about to take a shot at Adam Amin?
I love that guy.
I know you do. So do I.
You love Adam Amin.
I'm not going to take a shot at Adam Levine or Adam Amin or whoever. I'm not taking a shot. I'm just telling you that I happened to watch this particular game, most of it, not all of it, the fourth quarter, those parts that mattered that you just heard right there. I watched it over at the lovely Christie's house. And do you know how every house has its own sort of sound? You know what I mean? It has its own, I don't want to use the word traditions. It just has its own norms. And if you come over to my house, we're not Italian, but we might as well be. The volume is on 25.
Sure. You're talking with your hands.
Everybody is yelling all the time. Jude is just doing play-by-play to no one. I mean, like, people are just yelling. It's just like, and nobody's,
I experienced it at the Super Bowl.
Nobody's worried about if anyone else is talking. They just start talking to.
Chip off the old block.
Right. I'm one of them.
Of course.
People are just saying stuff. And if you can't hear, you just elevate the volume even more.
And then people start yelling louder.
Exactly. But you go over to Christie's house, and that whole game just sounded like this.
Yeah.
Like a golf.
Except for Adam Amin.
No, because the volume is down to like 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hello, friends.
Sounds more like, and a throw down the right sideline, and Pearsall's got it, and it's a first down for the 49ers. That's what it sounds like. There's just two adults sitting there on the couch. Just whatever. Somebody came over at one point with some sort of a political flyer in the middle of the game. And she went out there and is talking to the person, and I'm sitting in there on the couch just getting mad at, like, who the hell would do this in the middle of a 49er game?
You didn't boost up the volume while she was out there?
I didn't boost the volume, but I tuned it out. And then a day later, I see the flyer sitting there on the counter, and I'm like, what's this about? She goes, you didn't hear? The person was sitting there talking to me for 15 minutes. I go, exactly. I tuned you all out. The Niner game was on. Who the hell's going door to door during a Niner game? You either don't understand society or you're purposely coming to people's houses during the Niner game because you know they're there. Either way, you annoy me. So, like, anyway, it's good to hear those calls in that sort of a form because I didn't. And so you bring up Sanchez, and I'm like, I don't remember a word he said.
Right.
I don't remember a thing he said. What did he do? Was it fun? What were his... attempts at humor?
He always just tries to be funny. And at times he is funny. And Adam laughs. And, you know, it's a lighthearted moment. It's not when the game is at crunch time. But
I like when people try to be funny.
Yeah, I just... I found him to be, I guess, less annoying than normal. He was a pleasant watch, you know, for the most part of that game. But I don't really sit there and dial it on every word because I've got, you know, the laptop is out and you're on the phone and... A lot of stuff going on there
totally.
For sure.
Yeah, the red zone might be on the other screen. Mm-hmm. It's a lot happening. It's a lot going on. I do like it when the Niners are at 1 o'clock, though.
Absolutely.
And that red zone's only got like two or three other games on it. So it's just like Scott Hansen kind of goes into, it's almost like he goes into retirement. He's just got like senioritis. He's just sitting there. He's like, we might go out to Seattle for a few minutes. We might show you a commercial. We might show you some highlights from earlier. There's just not a lot going on, so it's not so distracting. That 10 o'clock Niner game is a little sensory overload. It's a lot.
We got seven games this week.
Okay.
At 10.
So no Octo and no Nano.
You got the Wake and Take.
You got a Siete box.
You got the Wake and Take at 6:30 because we're going to go overseas.
Yes, we are.
In Dublin.
Bunch of weeks in a row now, I think.
Minnesota's playing back-to-back games.
Yeah.
So just a little pro tip here from the guy who's 12-2. You take the stay-and-play team overseas every time.
Okay.
You take the stay-and-play.
Even the first week?
The second week.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So not
week two,
this week.
It'll be a stay-and-play. Week one, I got to look at it, but what a humongous advantage it is to have been there for a week. Meanwhile, the poor schlubs have got to fly in and play you, but you got 7 at 10 a.m., and then you've got, 105, Niners, Jags, Colts, and Rams, Ravens, and Chiefs. It's a bit of a monster afternoon on Sunday.
Ravens and Chiefs is not as sexy as it normally would sound.
It is a kind of a double must win, though.
Well, because, they're both 1-2.
Right. And it's still sexy because they're both, I think the Chiefs are, I mean, the Chiefs with a win are right back in the thick of it. And the Ravens with a loss have a lot of work to do.
Ravens by 100.
It's two and a half. It's a spread.
By 100.
Okay. Cuckoosh. Lock it up. All of a sudden, now you're Mr. Winner, I see.
No, I'm just telling you, Ravens by 100. The Chiefs suck.
Wow.
They do. I watched them. I've watched them three times. They suck.
Buffalo at home against the Saints. What do you think that number is? Without looking.
Okay, Buffalo at home. That's a fun one. Buffalo at home against the Saints. John Feliciano is going to join us in 3 minutes.
Former Bill.
That number has got, well, look, if they were 12.5 at home against Miami, plus they get a week and a half off, they're coming off of a mini bye. The Saints are coming off the worst performance I've seen any team have so far. It has to be north of two touchdowns. I'm going to go 15 and a hook.
16 and a hook, according to ESPN.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's pretty good. Within 1 point, no?
Give him another buzzer.
Why? What are you talking about?
I asked you what it was.
You answered,
and you were wrong. Just like this morning, we had a show thread going, and you had a little trivia question, and all three of us gave our answers.
That wasn't a trivia question. It was a total...
Well, yeah, we don't need to get into it, but
all three
of us were wrong. All three of us knew what you meant. All three of us answered something else, and you red X'd us.
But I thought you were answering that with jokes. I think you knew what I was getting at.
Yes,
and
we
you
did.
Just chose we not did. To not to say it.
Yeah. Anyway, 16 and a hook. So
all right.
Yeah, and your slate starts Thursday with Seattle at Arizona.
Oh boy, I don't know what to do with that game.
Yep, I'll let you know.
I'm sure glad I don't have to pick it.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna sit here and listen to the old king over here across the table. All right, Feliciano in a minute. Is he already on? Is he ready to go? All right. Okay. All right. So John Feliciano's ready. We were going to do a little bit of the ABS baseball thing because you have an interesting take. We can do that after John because John's great. We can't wait to talk it out with him. The podcast is hilarious. The Not Our Fault podcast. John, we watched some of it today And it's tremendous. I love, we're going to do a special off-air game of Count the Cuss Words on the Not Our Fault podcast. John Feliciano, 10 years in the league with the Niners the last 2 years, joins us now on the River Islands guest line and also on YouTube. So get on over there. Hey, John, what's going on today, man? Don't change a thing. And John, I almost forgot I'm supposed to do this, and then we'll get back to you. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. No, John, never change. Never change, okay?
All right. Hey, you did a great job with that read. I would stumble off all those words.
No, you wouldn't stumble.
You're freaking professional.
No, you would just put the F word in between every other word, and then it would be fine.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. All right. So, hey, let's dive right into this. Let's get real, man. Why are the Niners having such a hard time running the ball, John?
We won.
Yes.
I'm joking. No, yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty right now. It's just been off a little. Not having George and JJ really, really sucks. Those two guys, man, really, really help make things go. And you can tell they're missing them right now.
What happens in the red zone, John, that makes it so difficult for them to get it in there? I'm looking at McCaffrey, 13 carries for 7 yards this year in the red zone. What is it about the shrunk down field that makes running it so hard?
It's just, basically when you get down real low, I mean, there's 11 guys in the box. I'll tell you, it makes the center's job a little hard when you're trying to identify things. I mean, I think Jake does a great job. But for me, when we're in the low red, it was really, five yards in, it really makes it hard to try to identify, because everyone's right there. Safeties are damn near at linebacker depth down there, and it does make things hard. Yeah, I'm good. No cursing.
No, you're doing great.
Crushing it.
So far, so good.
John Feliciano joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. John, I want to spotlight one particular moment in the game that I think at the time felt like it was going to be somewhat decisive, and I think has left some Niner fans scratching their head. So you take me through this, especially as an offensive lineman. You have a third and goal and a fourth and goal, both from the 1 yard line. You have a quarterback who seemingly is having a hard time walking. I understand going for it, but take me through the two play calls, stretch play to Christian that goes nowhere, and then a drop back with a hobbled quarterback who then throws it to Christian, short of the line to gain, and it also almost gets him killed, throws him right into coverage. What was your take on those play calls and everything going on in that portion of the game?
I think Connor stepped on the quarterback's foot. I don't know. It looks real close. I couldn't really zoom too far in when I was watching the film. But I do think that Connor nicked Mac's foot, which is why he had to do that weird diving stretch. But man, as a lineman, if Kyle calls or any OC calls a pass on the fourth down and you didn't get it the first two, second, third, or I don't know, I think they ran on first down as well. If it's at that point, you kind of understand why he threw it. Arizona did a great job of getting pressure on that play. Matt couldn't really get through his reads because there was a free guy. What's number nine's name? I think he was pretty open if Matt could have got to him.
Yes, Sky Moore.
The play call was there. Yeah, he was going to be – that was probably a touchdown if we had a little more time, but they brought – I think they brought six.
Yeah, and on that third down play, I'm looking at my notes, and I had it down as 23 personnel. Two running backs and three tight ends. If you get to that spot, is it just your 10 against their 11 and it's just an absolute maul to see who can win that battle?
Yeah, basically. You would like to get better movement front side, but that didn't happen. So If you can dent the line in a little bit anywhere, Christian's going to find it for that 1 yard.
Hey, John, I was watching some of the podcast, and again, we want to let everybody know about it, the Not Our Fault podcast. And you guys were breaking down some tape of the Niners-Saints game. And I think there was a particular, this particular play, Christian ran for maybe 7 or 8 yards. It was a successful play, but you stopped the video and spotlighted Dominic Pooney, who you played with last year, and I think everybody's pretty excited about, and the rookie year that he had. But things have been a little bit kind of wobbly, not bad, but a little wobbly so far this year. And you were spotlighting his position on this play, and you weren't a fan of it. You didn't like kind of where he was, even though it ended up being a positive play. What'd you see there, and what's your sense of how he's playing so far this year?
Yeah, like you said, a little good, a little bad. I think kind of have, you know, you see these quarterbacks coming in, they ball their first year, and the second year they have a little, it starts off a little rocky, a little slump. I think Poon's going to be fine. I think he'll be one of the best guards in the years coming. He's just, you know, some of the things that he got away with last year, or not that way. Especially against Calais. I think Calais just pulled out all his old man tricks, and he got Kobe with it a little bit, and Pooney. So I think it's just Pooney's just going to continue to get better. I think he's just learning, and just I think that play we were talking about, was it like a pitch play, like a outside zone play? Do you remember?
You talking about the one against the Saints?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a pitch play. It was just Christian kind of, for layman's term, he just kind of ran up the middle, and Trent had sealed everybody off on the left side of the line really nicely. Colby did a wonderful job with a block, and Pooney was just kind of off center a little bit. He was kind of off to the right, and it looked like he was in position where he might have had to hold in order to do his thing. Luckily, Christian hit the hole. He kind of cut it back and hit it really quickly and was able to nail off 8 yards or so. But you didn't love Dominic's positioning in that moment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Christian does such a phenomenal job where he feels the way the movement's going, and there's so many times where you're like almost in a bad position to hold, and Christian hits it a certain way where he's like right off of you, and he's so phenomenal. I know I pointed out on the Saints play, there was a play where there was a safety or a DB right in the hole, and Christian made a miss and ran for 10 yards. Man, Christian is back, and once we get this run game squared away, I think he's going to start popping off like he was a couple of years ago.
And you saw him flash yesterday, or Sunday rather, on the screen pass that ultimately set up the game-winning field goal. It went for 20 yards. As a lineman, when you have McCaffrey running on the screen, what do you try to do as far as, you know, you got to get out obviously first, and then what, you try to make a block and get out of his way?
I was laughing my butt off watching the film today for Jake. It's so hard sometimes. Colby did a great job getting it started. Make sure you stay flat, young man. You don't want a downfield flag. But he did a great job getting up on that linebacker. And then, you know, Jake's running his tail off, and it's him and a smaller dude, a DB. And you don't know where Christian is back there. You know he's behind you, and you know that he's going to eventually make a cut. But it's so hard to judge when you're running full speed and you have a DB running at you full speed. He's a lot faster and more quicker and more athletic. Christian makes a cut, and Jake thinks that Christian's right behind him. There, he's about to blow up this little guy. Christian cuts inside, and Jake just goes flying. It killed me watching it on film.
Because the little guy had moved at that point.
100%. And Christian made such a cut that guy had he was not in the play at whatsoever. But it's just, I know the feeling Jake has when you're like, it's such a disappointing feeling when you run so far and you don't block anybody.
I love it. John Feliciano's with us. John, I want to throw a couple D linemen at you, and you tell me if you've gone against them and sort of what your impressions are. Starting with a guy you already mentioned. Tell us about Calais Campbell and what that challenge was like for this group on Sunday.
Yeah, so I've played Calais only one time. We played him in the playoff game. I think it was 2020, Bills versus Ravens, yeah. And those type of guys, older guys, you want to get them later in the season. There's nothing worse than getting Calais or Cam Hayward the first month of the season, because then they are still the guys that they are at that point in time. It's rough. I think I played a pretty good game against Clayus that year. I think my strengths and his strengths kind of works in my favor.
You ever go against Eric Armstead?
No, he was hurt when I played the Niners when I was on the Bills.
Okay.
Everyone was hurt that year.
Yeah. Well, have you noticed that happens sometimes with the Niners? I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, we should let you weigh in on this. I know you're on the other side of the ball, but what does the Bosa loss mean for this team?
It's terrible. He is just one of the like hearts and souls of that team. Like nothing gets you more fired up than on Saturdays when Nick breaks down the huddle after the walkthrough and he gives his speech. Like those, it's great when he rarely talks a lot. So when he speaks, man, it means so much. It's gonna suck for them.
Is that a Saturday? You said, does that happen every Saturday that Nick would address the team?
Yep. Yeah, every Saturday after the team, like walkthrough or whatever.
It's awesome. And unfortunately, now he's going to be gone for the year. You'd mentioned Calais Campbell, and I just wanted to get your thoughts and, you know, the Not Our Fault podcast, of course. Was it Pooney's fault on that Calais Campbell play where he burst through and he had to go back and hold and call for the safety? What did you see on that play that Campbell made that made it so tough on Pooney?
I don't know. I might have missed that one.
Did you? Exactly. I'm getting to know you, John. I know what you're doing.
I mean, stuff happens, right? And Campbell's going to be a Hall of Famer. And so it's okay if a Hall of Famer makes a play on a second-year guy. You know, it doesn't mean that the second-year guy is not very good. Was that just Calais Campbell getting a half a body on him and getting right by him?
Yeah, 100%. And you just got to know. I think it's where the age comes in. You got to know where you are at all times. You can't get a penalty in the end zone. You know, you hate to say it, but you got to just let the guy go. And I'm sorry, quarterback, but get the ball out because we can't give up 2 points.
I'm sorry, quarterback. I like that. There's a guy 6'8", 315 coming your way. Sorry about that, Mac.
I'll do better next time, I promise. You won't get touched the rest of the time.
Do you ever yell that when someone gets by you, John? Do you ever just yell, I'm sorry?
No. There was my first sack in the league. It's so vivid. It's like it happened yesterday. We're Christmas Eve, Thursday night football, Raiders, Chargers. Melvin Ingram, the guy is going to spin. He has one of the best spin moves in the game. And my young dumb brain was like, go get him, go kill him. So I go attack him, jump set him, and he hit me with the cleanest spin move so fast that I had time to turn around and just yell, Derek!
Oh, it's so great.
Well, how did that play end?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
John?
Derek Carsack.
Okay. Yeah. He heard you yell Derek, but it was too late.
Yeah. He was on him.
Oh man. I remember Melvin Ingram. That was, yeah, he's a good player. John, I wonder, not to dwell on the Bosa thing, but Trent Williams said something interesting, after the game, which was that when something like that happens, he recalled that the Niners are going on what ended up being the game winning drive. But even during that drive, Trent said it was almost like a pit in the stomach because I'm thinking about Nick the whole time, and it's a total buzzkill. So if you were still on the team right now, and I know how close you are to him, you're 3-0, but you've lost Nick. So what is the mood of the locker room in a situation like this?
Yeah, it definitely goes back and forth. He'll be happy one second and then sad another. Like I said before, Nick is just a big part of that team. And I mean, the way he works, man, you really hate to see it because Nick, he works so dang hard. And I mean, look at his body, you know what I'm saying? so, you know, it just sucks to see someone that works so hard get it taken away from him. And he was killing. I mean, both the first 2 weeks he finished the game, and he's that kind of player for you, for the team.
So now you've got Mykal Williams, who is going to move outside some, and he'll be playing his fourth ever game. Is it too much to ask for Mykal Williams not to be Nick Bosa, but are you putting too much on the young man's shoulders to expect him to now go 70% of the snaps and really be a game wrecker?
No, we're in the league. That's what you came here to do. And I'm sure that they got him. Chris Eric's crazy. I can say ass, right?
Yep.
Chris Eric's crazy ass is, I'm sure he's on him, and he's been on him for since he walked through those doors. So I'm sure he'll be ready. I love the guy we got from Philly. Was it Huff? Huff,
yep. Right?
Yeah, Bryce Huff.
I think he's legit. So I'm excited to see what those two do.
John, where do they need to be better? Like, I get it, 3-0. You're stoked, but at the same time, let's not kid ourselves. These have been just barely victories, and there have been some breaks involved. So if you're projecting forward, what are you kind of focused on?
I mean, it's going to be the cliche answer, but it's true everywhere. I really think our defense has been playing lights out, so they can just keep playing the way they are. But I mean, offensive line, we've got to play better. Tight ends got to play better. Receivers, quarterback, Christian's great. They we're 3-0, and I mean, this is the type. This is the time to if you're going to be not so great, this is the time where it's early in the season and you have all season to get it right. And I'm sure they're going to get it right.
Bills are 3-0. Niners are 3-0. Do you like light a candle at the every end of Sunday night when both teams win?
Yeah, I guess it's been great that they've been playing on opposite times, so I get to watch both the games. But yeah, that 49ers Bills Super Bowl.
Okay,
is that Levi's this year? Ain't it?
It sure is.
Or is it? Yeah, it sure that'd is. Be great. That'd be a hell of a game.
What are the chances you're playing in it?
Hopefully.
I mean,
I have this running. Yeah, I have this running joke with people. People always ask, like, oh, have you reached out? Have you called? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like an ex-girlfriend. It's like, you don't want to be the first one to call, but if they call, you're going to pick up.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. And the injuries keep piling up. We might only be, one more bad break away. John, great to have you.
Had a great workout this morning.
Okay, good. We'll let them know. The Not Our Fault podcast is a really fun listen. So check it out, and thank you as always. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys.
All right.
Appreciate it, John.
Yep. You too. There he goes. John Feliciano with us, every Tuesday on 95.7 The Game and youtube.com.
Yeah.
/95.7 The Game.
No doubt. And, man, just gets better and better. His insights and just the analysis and great story about the first sack he gave up when he's going to get out there and he was going to get his hands on Melvin Ingram. So he jumps out in a quick set and then whoop, the cleanest spin you've ever seen.
You're mad.
Heads up, Derek.
Derek!
Totally.
I didn't want to jump in on the conversation. Hey, this is Lucas, your producer. Nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, hi, Lucas.
I didn't want to do that to John. It would have really thrown him for a loop.
Totally.
Miles Garrett, you heard of him, defensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns. Very, very good.
Yeah, he's good at football.
He was mic'd up this weekend, and the clip came out, I think, this morning or maybe yesterday, where he beat the Packers left tackle so badly, like right off the line, clean break to Jordan Love. And he was telling the story as he got back to the bench to his teammates. He was like, man, I just won so badly. I heard the offensive lineman turn around and he goes, run, Jordan! Reminded me of that story.
Run. I mean, especially if you are protecting a quarterback's blind side. And I don't know these stories that we're telling, whether it's the sight side or the blind side. But yeah, like, I mean, yes, yell. Like, dude, like you got to at least get a chance to brace yourself. Because those are the ones that just look like they can be so dangerous, is when a quarterback doesn't even see somebody like a Miles Garrett or Melvin Ingram coming, and then they just absolutely swallow them when they get to them. So I bet there's a lot of that.
Yeah, and on this one where it's Calais Campbell, 6'8", 315, and he gets by Pooney. Max sees him coming straight at him, so that's not as, you know, warning worthy. But it's interesting what John said about, yeah, you got to let him go, and sorry about that, but you cannot commit that penalty in that spot on the field. And so you watch it, and it's like, I'm thinking, okay, I get it. I get why you held, and I thought it was a clear hold. He had two arms around his waist.
Yeah, it was a clear hold. I had questions about the rule. I and just in a very genuine way, I don't know when does a hold start? Do you know what I mean? And how do you call that? Because was it holding? Sure. Was it holding in the end zone? You bet. Was it holding at the two? Yep. Was it holding at the one? Indeed. Like, I mean, he got dragged. He started running with him almost like they were dancing. He had his hands around his waist. So, you know, with what had happened earlier in the game with Kyler Murray just having maybe 12% of his body out of the end zone, and that's not a safety, I that's why the question sort of pops into my head.
Yeah,
that's all.
I'll have to look at the play again, because you said this on Monday, like, you know, it was holding at the two or whatever, but, you know, I guess it ultimately depends on when the ref sees it and when the hold, in his opinion, actually happens. But, yeah, just interesting the way John Feliciano was breaking it down about, you know, sorry about that, but we're not doing holding in our own end zone for that very reason.
All right. So 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to react to anything from Feliciano or any of the discussion we've been having that's mostly Niners related so far today. Fire away. We still got almost 40 minutes to go. We would love to take your call. I do want to get to this because you had a very interesting take about this that I want to break down a little bit. And there's a quote that's resurfacing that's 2 months old from Patrick Bailey that is very, very relevant here. So for those of you who did not hear the breaking news of the day in baseball, baseball has announced that starting next year, the ABS system is going to take over. Auto balls and strikes. And what that means is it's not robo-umps yet. It will look exactly the same, but each team will be given two challenges per game. And anybody can challenge. Batter, catcher, manager.
I don't think the manager can, according to what you sent us.
I thought the dugout can too, no? Am I wrong? The dugout?
I thought there was no dugout assistance allowed.
Oh, maybe it's the third, the pitcher.
Pitcher,
okay.
Batter,
pitcher,
catcher.
Batter, catcher. Okay, yep. My bad. Pitcher is the third element, not the manager. So pitcher, batter, and what you'll see batters do is basically tap the top of their head, and that means automatically we're going to go to review on whether or not that's a ball or a strike. So imagine somebody getting called out by one of those annoying strike three calls that's an inch outside your little box on the TV. You tap the top of your head, and they've tested this in the minors. It goes very quick, and they just go boop. It's like they radio right back down to the field. Nope, that's a ball. Bang, batter, get back in the box. You're back in there. I'm sure umpires hate this, but your immediate take on this was maybe counterintuitive to what someone would think Dan Dibley would say about this.
Well, the inevitable is coming, which is robo-umps. And there's not going to be an actual robot, but the umpire will be standing there with something like a pitch comm, and every pitch will be signaled to him, ball or strike, and he will just be obligated to make the call based on what the robot says. So let's just get right to that, because this challenge system is, for me, it's unnecessary. And the fact that you only get two a game, now if you get them both right, I guess you get to keep doing it.
That's correct.
You get multiple challenges.
Yes, if you get it right, you don't
and,
lose one.
You know, it's going to be an interesting ego battle among hitters and pitchers. Like, if it's the first inning and it's Bryce Harper and it's a 2-2 pitch and he doesn't think it's a strike and he's going to challenge it and he's wrong, well, now you're costing your team because now you only have one more challenge the rest of the game.
You've tapped into what the very first question was to me, which is how, because this has to happen very quickly.
Right.
You don't get like a lot of time here. So how does a bat?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Or a pitcher on the field know if they've got the team's approval, basically, to go ahead and fire up one of those reviews. And if you're wrong, boom, you're immediately down to one.
You got to have team rules. And if I'm the manager, it's going to be, all right, batters, it's going to be like a high leverage situation.
Yep,
bases runners loaded, on base. Two outs, or eighth or ninth inning, or there's going to have to be rules and parameters. You're not just going to be able to go rogue. And if you're, you know, if you're Drew Gilbert and you feel like you got squeezed in the second, we're not tapping our helmet. And I only picked Drew Gilbert because he's got the moxie to wear. He might do it twice in the same at bat.
I mean, seriously. But it will. And then the other thing is, it's just like, I don't know, if you're a manager, do you say at least to your middle of the order guys, you have, it's kind of like how Barry Bonds had the right to steal whenever he wanted. He didn't need to wait for a sign.
Or swing on three
or
and
swing,
out, right?
Yeah. Right? So can your middle of the order guys do it whenever they want? But guys, you have to be right. You have to be right. You cannot challenge this thing and be wrong. Like, there just isn't room for that. Certainly not early in a game. But, you know, if Rafi Devers is up in the first inning with one on and one out, are you giving him the green light?
In the first inning?
No. But Rafi Devers, if you're sure, if you're like, dude, I know that ball's outside.
One part of this has to, and I'm thinking about maybe the second most annoying thing about watching the NBA. The first is the flopping. The second is the twirling of the finger.
The twirl of the finger.
Draymond Green has gotten to a level in his career where he's got twirl status. If he twirls, then the team will, they're more than likely to go with the twirl.
Yeah.
Now, he's not 100%, but Draymond is such a smart basketball player, and he is so, I think, in tune with what's going on out there. When he twirls, I get it. Brandon Pajemski, I love you. Valkyries correspondent, super fan. You are great, and you're one of my favorites, but you don't yet have twirl status. He twirls a lot, and a lot of times when he'll twirl, Steve will look at him and go, stop twirling.
Yeah.
We're not doing the twirl.
There was that great moment where you could read Steve's lips where he yelled at Brandon, I don't care. Brandon's like, right. They're wrong, and Steve's like, I don't care. Go play.
Yeah.
So I'm with you.
Twirl status.
I'll say this, though. As two people who haven't really seen a lot of this, they've done a lot of tests at the minor league level, and from what I'm told, people who have watched this take place, they love it. They love it. It's not like twirling, because twirling, if somebody goes, all right, we're going to review, all right, we're going to commercial, and we're going to the ref's going to come and they get the little microphone and that awkward camera that's shooting up his or her nostrils, and then they got to lean into the microphone, and I'm just like, stop. This is split second. Boop, boop, head, upstairs, strike, back down, let's play. It's very, very non-intrusive. And from what I hear, people who have watched this and experienced it a lot really, really like it. And I think my other answer to you, like, you're not wrong about, like, hey, if you're going to do this, why don't we just do robo-umps? I wonder if this isn't two things. A, this is baseball. I don't even know what their deal is with the umpires' union right now. They might not be allowed to just fire the home plate umpires
yet. Right.
That's number one.
Well, they're not going to fire them.
Well,
they're just going to take away their ability to make judgments.
Right, or, I mean, if you have robo-ump, they're not even out there, are they? I mean, maybe they're out there to call, like, you know, plays at the plate, but not balls and strikes.
Well, I think that they're there to say strike or ball. You know, like, they don't make the call, but
they're being told.
Right.
Kind of like Jose Altuve. Like, they'll have a little thing in their shirt that tells them if it's a ball or a strike.
I think that's the way it goes.
That was an unnecessary shot, but actually it was probably fair. Anyway.
MLB and the Umpires Association have a collective bargaining agreement that goes through 2029.
So that was number one. And number two, I do wonder if baseball's like, no, this is more entertaining. Like, it sounds weird, but it's more entertaining to have that conflict on the field where the player's like, no, ump, I'm going to tap my head. take that. And then we're going to go up and we're going to come down and you're right and this, that.
But the conflict is really with not the umpire, but a machine.
Understood.
And I think that we've lost a lot of what I loved about baseball, which was the true conflict, which is I don't like that call. I'm coming out and we're going to have an argument.
It's a fair point.
We don't do that anymore.
And if you go all the way to robo-ump, that is gone forever in any form for good. Like there is no discussion ever again about a ball or a strike. If you go to full
blown robo-ump.
Isn't that
what we want?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know yet. I haven't seen any of it yet. I haven't watched a baseball game where this is a reality yet. So I can't really form that opinion. I know what you mean, which is, haven't we fallen in love with just get it right? Get it right. Sure. Then again, balls and strikes is not it's not the Sharpie ink that people think it is, because a strike zone in theory is different from player to player. One guy's Altuve, the next guy's Bryce Eldridge. That's not the same strike zone. So there is a little bit of some wiggle room, even in whoever this TV person is that draws that box on the screen. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
And I wonder if this ABS system will have different size rectangles for different size human beings, because you've got Aaron Judge at 6'7", 6'8", Bryce Eldridge the same, Altuve's 5'5" on a good day. They better have different size rectangles, otherwise what are we doing?
And then balls at Jose Altuve's eyes are strikes.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. Now, here's the Patrick Bailey part of this. And I think this is where, for a Giants fan, this gets real, real compelling. Patrick Bailey is not a very good hitter. But Patrick Bailey is, and you can ask anyone in the game, this is the best defensive catcher in the game, bar none. And a big part of what he does, and the analytics will show, the runs saved per game and all of the analytics will slant significantly in Patrick's favor. And a lot of what he does is that he steals strikes for his pitchers because of the way he frames the ball. Now, in theory, an ABS system almost renders that useless, because if Patrick is out there receiving the ball in such a way that makes it look like a strike and an umpire calls it a strike and then the batter taps his head, well, it's not a strike anymore. And so now, do you still want Patrick Bailey to be your catcher? This was a quote in July from Patrick about the ABS system. It takes a lot off my plate in a bad way. I think it takes a lot off of value from the catching position that's already, in my opinion, pretty undervalued. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of catchers out of baseball with the ABS. And then NBC Sports Bay Area caught up with him today, prior to tonight's game, to get a comment on the breaking news that ABS is now a reality starting next year. Here's what Patrick said.
No, I mean, I don't really have any thoughts on it. I think we'll just have to figure out kind of what it looks like. Obviously, I've had experience with it in AAA a little bit and in spring training, but yeah, I mean, obviously, it'll be a big change, and we just got to figure out how to use it to the best of our ability.
Does it take away anything from your game?
I'm not sure. I hope not.
You take so much pride in how good you are as a framer. If that does change down the line, is that just kind of a bummer for what you do so well?
I think it's a bummer for catchers across the league if that's the case. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to take away the value of framing. You still have to be able to get calls and keep strikes. And at the end of the day, I think it's just going to be really valuable to know the zone.
Okay.
Well, here's an idea. Go hit. I'm looking at the Fielding Bible and the rankings of defensive runs saved among catchers. He's actually second. He's tied for second behind Sedan Rafaela of the Boston Red Sox, who has 16 home runs. He's driven in 62. He's got an OPS of 694. So slightly below the average, but 16 home runs. He's driven in 62. Ernie Clement, who's tied with Patrick Bailey, he's hitting 279, and he's got 9 home runs. So if you don't want to lose your job, you got to hit the ball. That's all. Then my heart goes out to him. If the one thing you're best at you can't do anymore, then.
Well, you can do it because, as you point out, you only have two loss challenges per game. So, like, it's not like the value's totally gone because not, everybody's not going to be out there willy-nilly just challenging every single pitch. There's going to be some restraint on that, and so there will still be some value, but the value goes down. There's no two ways about it.
Yep.
There's no two ways about it. The value goes down. I think you can hear it in his voice. Patrick has not got a big personality to begin with, so I know he sounds like he's half asleep. That's not, I don't think that's about the ABS system. Patrick is not a big personality. But yeah, this is a tough day for him. They acquired a catcher in the Duvall trades. They brought him up, and now the ABS system is a reality. Those are three things that have all happened in the last month and a half, and none of them are good for Patrick Bailey. So, you know, you're right. Like, I think that his long-term viability, I don't think he's going anywhere next year, but I think the long-term viability of Patrick Bailey is going to ride on him becoming a more effective offensive player in this game.
Absolutely. And there's also, beyond framing, there is, you know, calling a game, which I'm sure it's not totally up to the catcher these days with the pitch comm and the managers. You've got a plan. It's about blocking. It's about throwing the ball. So it's not like if I can't frame, I can't be a catcher. And I don't think that the catcher position is going to go the way of the dodo bird. They're not just going to throw up a backstop. They're going to have somebody back there with the big puffy glove trying to catch the pitcher. So it just is, it's an adjustment like with anything else. And, you know, the adjustment of the shift limited some players' ability to go out and play defensively if you have to have more range and you can't hide guys as much anymore. So it's part of the evolution of the game. And he's got to be able to go out and have a better than, what's he at, 602 right now, OPS.
Is that what he's at?
602. And that's with him actually hitting the ball a lot better in the second half of the year.
He is the catcher again tonight. Like, Rodriguez is up, but they have not started him as of yet. We have no idea who that guy is. He's not played in the majors with the Giants yet. Again, he was one of the main pieces acquired by the Giants in the Camilo Duvall trade with the Yankees. But I think you go through spring training next year, you offer up some other options at the catcher position, and Patrick Bailey may turn into more of a platoon player because he can't hit, and he really can't hit from the right side.
Is that what it is, the right side?
No, he's been bad from both, but he's never been a very good hitter from the right side. I know that's where he hit the grand slam against the Dodgers, so that was super fun.
And the inside the park walk-off, that was lefty, right?
That was lefty, yeah.
I just wonder how challenging it is to maintain two different swings and be an everyday catcher and manage the pitching staff. It just feels like there's too much on his plate already. You know what I'm saying?
You have him at a 602 OPS, 619 OPS as a left-handed hitter, 558 as a right-handed hitter this year with one home run. And we all remember what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And so obviously you would favor him as a left-hand hitter in the platoon, which is about two-thirds of the time anyway, even a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, his average as a left-handed hitter this year is .227 as a right-handed hitter. And Jesus Rodriguez, if that is the guy who gets the next shot, he is a right-handed hitter.
Right.
So you could do more of a platoon next year. You could offer something up differently. You know, the backup catcher this year position, it bounced around to a few different names. It ended up being, Kisner. All apologies to all of the people, Sam Huff, all of the people who moonlit as the other catcher with the dike. They're not offering much. They've not offered much defensively. They've not offered much offensively. That position needs to be someone else next year, and it needs to be someone who pushes Patrick Bailey.
Yeah, and that poor Murphy guy, was it Tom Murphy?
Yeah, Tom Murphy.
He hasn't played now in 2 years.
Well, he's got a legal thing going on with the team now.
Okay.
Because of the way that he's alleging that they messed up his health with the way that they handled stuff. I have no idea who's right or wrong in that one, but basically that one's, he's not headed for home plate at Oracle Park. He's headed for a courtroom.
Yeah.
So that's where that one ended up. There was a good Farhan signing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Bart plays for the Pirates, but he signed Tom Murphy.
Yeah, And that is definitely, you know, you want to get more production out of the position, especially as you move to a time where his framing is going to be less important. He's still very good at throwing, and so he could still be your catcher, but you got to be hitting more than 220.
We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Want to remind everybody that you're invited back to the big old party on Sunday. Laughing Monk Brewing, Sunnyvale kickoff show. Got food, got drink, got games in the parking lot. The show all starts at 10 a.m. with our guys, Evan Giddings and Lo Neal. All the early games are on for you to watch as well. And then, get this, if you're going to go to the game, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. Park at Laughing Monk for free. Join the party, have fun, then take the shuttle both to and from the game. And all you have to do is sign up and reserve a spot. So do it now because space is limited. And you do that by going to 957thegame.com. Click on the kickoff show graphic, then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. And we will see you on Sunday at Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale, Niners and Jags. This is Willard and Dibs.
I mean, Nick, he works so dang hard. And I mean, look at his body. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I guess.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
I didn't like the text where you blamed me for Nick's injury because I haven't cooked the breakfast yet. I didn't like that part yesterday.
Yeah, no, I should apologize.
That was tough. That was a gut punch.
It was, but oh no, not Harbaugh. But yet, you were gonna do it. No, you were gonna make the breakfast, and then you didn't, and then bad things happened to good people.
But they're 3-0. The whole point was I was gonna do it, and I'll just admit it, and I'll tell Cheryl next time she comes on. I was lacking inspiration due to the fact that she didn't have a second omelet. Like 2 years ago. It's onions and broccoli and seven eggs. And then...
Seven eggs!
2 years later, hey, Cheryl, what's the pivot? Like, what's the, you know, well, I'm not feeling broccoli and onion, or I'm out of onion. What's the pivot? She's like, there is none. It's just, he's a creature of habit.
Yeah, it's what he likes.
It's just onion and broccoli. And I'm like, I'm lacking inspiration, and then the Niners start winning. And I'm like, Bull Durham, don't mess with the streak. So, like, I wasn't going to cook something when the Niners are winning. And now Nick Bosa is hurt, and apparently it's my fault. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I got onion and broccoli in the fridge right now. I could have made it.
Do you have seven eggs?
Oh, God. I always have, like, at least 30 eggs in the fridge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dude.
You got some egg eaters.
Eggs. You're looking at them.
Yeah.
Every morning. Always.
But the kids too, right?
Sometimes.
Do you make breakfast for just Jude, or do you make it for the whole household?
No, yeah. Just me and just Jude, and making breakfast for Jude sometimes means the cereal is right there.
Uh-huh.
I make him eat something good with it. Smoothie, spinach, sure. Something.
But Ella's on her own at 16.
No, teenagers don't eat breakfast. They're lucky if they're awake. Like, yeah, so no, that's it.
Okay.
Like, I am, you know me, I'm a breakfast, like, whew, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
And it has to be like a burrito or like a breakfast scramble or a breakfast quesadilla or a breakfast sandwich or there's just eggs every day. But not seven. We're not doing seven eggs.
Yeah.
Seven eggs.
That's a lot of food. I don't know where you put it because you're a pretty slender guy.
It's in my belly.
It's in there.
I eat it in my mouth, and then it goes into my belly. That's where it goes.
I eat breakfast probably 3 days a week, maybe. I usually just pass. It's a pass. I'll get you at lunch, stomach.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Total Mike Singletary.
I'm too busy making breakfast and lunch for the three-year-old.
Livid hangry by 9:30 if we haven't done something.
Yeah, and like, then the migraine will come.
Oh, we're not doing that. We're not doing it at all. Hey, we've been having fun talking it out today here on 95.7 The Game. And it's all presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Hey, just off chance, Lucas, I know you're doing 6 o'clock now tonight. Are you replaying Baldy? What are you going
to
do?
It's going to start with Baldy, and then we'll get to the crossover.
Okay, I just want to like forward promote Baldy. Nice. By letting y'all hear this. Check it out. The initial reaction, morning roast, Brian Baldinger, loss of Nick Bosa.
Well, I was hoping it wasn't that, but if you watch, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the replay. I mean, the knee just buckled on him. And it was kind of routine play. He was getting doubled, but when I saw the knee buckle and he didn't come back in the game, I knew he was hurt. I didn't know it was to this degree. And it's a shame because he was playing really great football, and they had rebuilt the defensive line, and they were playing great. They overcame the loss of him last week. He only played 13 plays, I think. But that's a horrible loss. There's only sometimes, you know, most teams don't have a Nick Bosa, but if you have someone like that, you have one of them. And so he set the tone for how they play the game, and it's a horrible loss, man. He was playing well, and the defense was playing well.
Does anybody have any idea how good Brian Baldinger is? He's not just somebody who can break down a play or break down a team, but when there is sort of a five-alarm situation like Nick Bosa getting hurt, this guy's able to turn on an actual fire alarm either inside his home or a hotel in order to have that blaring in the background as he breaks the situation down.
It's next level.
It's elite.
It's completely elite, and I hadn't even picked up on that until you pointed it out, but yeah. That's basically what's going on in every Niner fan's head. Even though you're 3-0, that red light is flashing. We have one in here. And occasionally we will have the fire test. We'll have the, the alarm.
Yes.
The drill. What's it called? The fire drill.
Fire drill.
I couldn't get through that. You have a fire drill. And, you know, this thing,
It's one of the worst sounds to the human ear. Just one of the worst.
And the one that happens at home that is almost as annoying is when you have the low battery and every like 90 seconds.
Why does that only happen in the middle of the night? Why? Why do smoke alarm batteries only go out in the middle of the night?
It's true.
Like, is it a rule? Like, I don't know. Go out at 2 p.m. Like, we can handle this.
Yeah, we can fix that.
You know? Anyway. Setting up tomorrow a little bit. First of all, Greg Cosell is going to be on. But I know you did a deep dive on all of Christian's runs.
Yep.
And we didn't get to this today, and I really want to. And this might be a good starting point for tonight. So I don't like to do this. I don't like to do this as a teacher, and I really don't like to do this as a radio host. But you all have homework. You have homework. You have an assignment that I'm sending home with all of you. And you need to bring it back at 2:15 tomorrow with an answer. And the question is, how do you feel Christian McCaffrey looks? That's it. It's a simple question. But I want you to really explore the depths of your eye test when you watch Christian McCaffrey. There's 2023 Christian. There's 2024 Christian. I think everybody's comfortable with he's neither of those. He's somewhere in between, but where? Where? How do you think he looks? Do you think he looks, quote, like himself?
Yeah.
You do?
Absolutely.
You do. I know a lot of people who will firmly give opposite answers to this.
Yeah, and it depends on how you look at Christian. And today I did a statistical analysis, a deep dive on all 52 of his carries, and I graded them as either a win or a loss. And usually a win, it's situational. So in other words...
Did you watch video?
No, I just went through the stats.
Okay.
And I've watched the video of each game 3 times, so I can remember many of these, but each run I graded with an L or a W, and every run is not created equally. In other words, if it's 3rd and 1 and you get 1, that's a win.
Okay.
If it's 3rd and 17 and you get 5, that's an L. I mean, you got 5, but... Big deal.
Well, the next question is, what the hell are you doing running the ball on 3rd and 17? Unless you're playing the field position game,
exactly.
Or whatever.
And they didn't have a lot of those. They had one. It's in here somewhere. I'll have it for you tomorrow with the homework. But, you know, 3rd and long, and you run that draw just to try to pick up 10 or 11, and right. Then you're going to punt it, whatever. But I'll look at all his catches. I think on his receptions, when you see him get out in space, he looks like the Christian. He looks like the Christian I remember. He's bursty. He gets to the corner. He's got that wiggle to make a guy miss, And when he's contacted, he usually doesn't go backward when he's outside. In the run game, he's not the Christian that I remember, and I think a lot of that's because they're not creating these holes for him.
It's interesting. The only time I thought it really stood out to where Christian suddenly didn't look like Christian is when he was dropping balls this week. He dropped a couple, and he bobbled another that he caught, but the bobble kind of took away his ability to do anything with the ball once he caught it. So that was uncharacteristic. But interesting conversation because, for instance, I mean, Lucas is sitting right over here. I think you have the exact opposite opinion here, don't you? You don't think he looks right.
I didn't want to buy into it until this week, and I thought, and we can save this for tomorrow, but I thought there were plenty of opportunities to bounce it outside. I shouldn't say plenty, but at least three or four where he could have bounced it outside for a big play, and whether he didn't want to, didn't see it, something felt a little bit off for the first time, I thought, all year this past Sunday.
I mean, I've told you just from watching the practice, the practices that we did, I thought, man, his speed looks great. He looks bouncy, all of that. Then there was the calf situation 2 days, 3 days before the start of the season. Now he's leading the NFL. Is he leading the NFL in touches? He's got to be.
Yeah.
He's got to be leading the NFL in touches. And so that's all great. I don't think it looks exactly like 2023, but I think he looks more good than not. But anyway, something to chew on that we can talk about tomorrow. So Baldy, and then what else is coming up here this hour?
Crossover.
Okay. All right, perfect. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, I got homework.
Yes, Ray, you do. You better do it, too.
Yep.
And don't procrastinate now. Don't you save it till 1 in the morning.
I'll put in the work. Yeah. I'll do it in the morning.
Okay. All right. For Dibs, for Lucas, and for Risotto, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Where are we at in society today?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.